following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning. All right. Listen, that's a good way to start. We appreciate these students coming out today, especially coming to sing and then coming to share testimonies and be a part of this church. We hope that it shows some sincerity of how much we appreciate you guys. We very much appreciate your support. And everything that I'm going to talk to you about this morning, I'm almost certain over the last 10 years you've heard from me before. So I'm hoping that you don't keep very good notes so that it feels like it's new. But I'm a one-string guitar, and I just don't see the need to change that right now. But real quick, if I can, Pastor, I'd love to brag on why I love being Southern Baptist. And why I'll always be Southern Baptist, even if they fire me tomorrow. Do you realize the cooperative program, which is what your pastor mentioned, is something that this church is a part of, means that you have a hand in things that are going on all over the world? The International Mission Board, which is the Southern Baptist missional arm, has over, 5,000 missionaries all over the globe that is supported 100% by you guys giving a dollar in the offering plate. How awesome is that? From this corner of Louisiana, you have a hand in the work that's going on with Ukrainian refugees in Central Europe. From this corner of Louisiana, you have a hand in the church planting efforts that are happening in Southeast Asia. That community approach to doing missions makes Southern Baptists so special in my eyes. And of course, BCM is a function as well through that cooperative program. We couldn't do what we do without you guys faithfully giving. Louisiana is one of the few states in the Deep South that still has a BCM program. Unfortunately, there's been a few states that have had to close down. North Carolina shuttered theirs about 8 years ago, I think. Missouri closed theirs around that time as well. Florida has had to lay off about half of their BCM workers. So far, Louisiana is holding strong. A commitment to reaching this next generation. And that is 100% because of you folks. And I hope for you, obviously for continuation of my career, I hope that that's the case. But even more than that, just that intentionality of reaching this next generation. I'll give you a few numbers. Did you know there's somewhere around 250,000 college students in Louisiana this last year? 250,000. You realize if we took all of those college students and we put them in one location, that would make it the second biggest city in Louisiana. How about that? So the one we would beat out is Baton Rouge. We'd be just a little bit bigger than Baton Rouge. I typed in this morning just because I wanted to get a fresh take. I typed in this morning at the what's called BAGBR, the Baptist Association of Greater Baton Rouge. That is all the Southern Baptists within Baton Rouge. And there are 81 churches in that association. 81 churches to reach the, 230,000 people or so that are in Baton Rouge. The next city down is Shreveport. If you look at the list of churches in Shreveport, it'll be much higher than 81. But just look at Baton Rouge. There's 81 churches with staff. Some of them have multiple staffs to reach that city. For the 250,000 college students, Louisiana has 21 BCM workers. 21. It's a tall order, right? There's a lot of students. But praise God that we get the opportunity to do this. And I think it's the best way to ensure that these young folks are being discipled through their collegiate education, that they're hearing the gospel, and that they're then coming back to churches just like this after they graduate. Not as passive members to sit in the back, not as a drain on the church fellowship, as the church spirit, but instead are coming back in on fire, ready to do God's will, and blessing the local congregations just like this one. So we appreciate you folks, and hopefully for many more years to come, we're going to get to brag about the partnership between this church and our own. We're very excited about tomorrow. Some of you folks are going to be bringing some food. Hopefully weather is a little bit better than today. College students, much like church memberships, sometimes go down when the rain comes out. But man, we're going to be excited about having you guys. We've been averaging about 100 students coming to eat. So hopefully we'll be up around there again. And again, you guys bringing that food is a huge help because that's primarily students that are not coming to our Bible study, But they hear free food, and, man, they want to be there. So they're coming because of you guys, not because of me. So we appreciate y'all. Real quick, let me talk you through something, and we're going to go quick. We're going to go fast. I want to tell you who the first BCM director ever was. If you look with me in the book of Acts, we're going to look at chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. So this is Paul during his travels, and what he's done is he's coming into Ephesus, and when he gets to Ephesus, it says he went to the synagogue, as he usually did at most of the cities that he was at. He persuaded, he argued, he showed them the scriptures, and then in verse 9 we see that some of those people, it says, but when some became hardened and would not believe, slandering the way in front of the crowd, he withdrew from them, taking the disciples, and conducted discussions every day in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. I'm going to argue to you that Paul was the first BCM director, because where was he doing his discussions? The lecture hall of who? Do you know what that means? That means the tyrant. He was doing discussions in the lecture hall of the tyrant. And I think college students talk about their professors in just that way. He's a tyrant. He's got your grade. He's got your future in his hands. There's nothing you could do. That's absolutely a tyrant. This was some hall of higher education. And I like that the writer of Acts recorded what that place was colloquially known as, lecture hall of the tyrant. And so Paul would go in there and have discussions about who Jesus is, what Jesus means, and why people need Jesus. And this is why it is so important to focus on this next generation, because look what happens in 10. He says, this went on for 2 years so that all of the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Now, how did they hear? And of course, when he's saying Asia, he's referencing Roman province of Asia Minor. This would have been probably equivalent to most of modern day Turkey. Either way, a huge tract of land. Now, Paul was in Ephesus. It does not say that he visited every single town in Asia Minor. So then how did they hear the word of the Lord? What do y'all think? His disciples, right? Some of those students from the lecture hall of the tyrant heard the message, accepted it, and wanted to bring it back to where they were from. What a great gospel moment using the next generation for Paul. We want to do the same thing with every one of these folks. That all of Louisiana, all of the states, and all over the country can hear the word of the Lord because of the passion of these folks grasping on to this relational aspect with God and then taking it back to wherever they came from. And just like Paul could say, man, everyone has had a chance to hear who the Lord is because of them. We want to say the same thing. So real quick, we'll talk about the methodology we use, if you will. Look with me in Colossians 1, 28 and 29. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all act Roman and hang out with Corinthians. And then General Electric Power Company. Right? Got to do it any way you can. There we go. Colossians 1, 28, 29, this is a great verse that shows Paul's heart for ministry, his goal in life. He says, him we proclaim, teaching and admonishing with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone as fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend, along with all the energy Christ so powerfully works within me. What a great verse. What a great mentality. What a great methodology. And it starts off with a couple of things. In first one, what is it Paul talks about? It says, what does he proclaim? I think I heard Jesus back there. It says him, right? And him is referencing Jesus. Our first and most important thing that we want to be about at the BCM is talking about Jesus. We're not going to talk about politics. We're not going to talk about church structure. We're not going to talk about the social issues that are happening today, only so far as they intersect with the message of Christ. Because we want lost people to hear who Christ is and why they should believe in Christ. Him we proclaim. And this is important because this is what we're trying to teach the students. We're trying to teach them to have that same mentality of him they need to proclaim. So when they come back to local churches, much like this one, they need to find a whole bunch of congregants thinking that same mentality of Jesus is who we proclaim. So how can you, on a day in and day out basis, how can y'all proclaim Christ? Well, I think that involves the people you work with. That involves your neighbors. That involves your family members who don't know Jesus. That means maybe being intentional and visiting someone you know that's in the hospital with a plate of cookies and saying, man, I'd love to tell you about Jesus and maybe I can pray with you. That means the people that you work with sharing a story, just like these guys did, of in their heart, your testimony of what Jesus has done for you. I can't tell you how many times I hear from college students, I don't have a good testimony. Truth is, anyone that has been impacted by Christ has a great testimony. And man, your testimony might be just what your neighbor needs to hear, because they might be going through the exact same thing. Maybe knocking on a door with some kind of baked good would get you a foot in the door to which you could share your good story. So that you, much like Paul, has this intentionality of him is who we are going to proclaim. With our college students, we want to start with Jesus. Because Romans 10:14 asks a question that I think we all have to be conscious of in trying to answer. It says, how will they call upon the name in which they have not believed? And how will they believe unless they hear? How can people believe in Jesus if they've just never heard of who he is? And there are still people around us today who do not have a good idea of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for them. The intentionality Paul had all throughout his ministry, in fact, in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2:2, he says, for I resolved to know nothing when I was with you, except Christ and him crucified. We've got to start with Jesus. We've got to make it all about Jesus. And guys, I dip my toe in real quick. We're coming up on an election year. There's going to be a lot of high passions. A lot of high passions here in the next, I don't know how many months. I would admonish you to think, how can we make it all about Christ? How can we focus it back to Jesus? Jesus is the only message that will save people. It's the only name given under heaven by which we can be saved, right? That's what we've got to focus on. Must focus on Christ. And then we see in the second part of that first verse is that Paul's goal for them was that he could present everyone as mature in Christ. And this bears thinking for just a second, because that means that in Christianity, there could perhaps be two levels. One being mature and one being immature, right? There's an interesting passage. In fact, there's a couple of them. Hebrews 5:12 and 1 Corinthians 3:2, we have this idea where the writer of both of those books is admonishing the people receiving the letter that they are not as mature as they should be. In fact, in Hebrews 5:12, he says, I'm expecting to feed you guys meat, but you're still needing milk. And milk is the basic principles of God's word. You're supposed to be beyond that, but you're not there yet. There's this idea that all of us, it's not just enough to say the sinner's prayer and then go on about your day however you want. Show up in church once a week, sit in the back, and then get out of there as soon as it's over. There's more to relational living with God than just that. There's this idea that we need to be moving towards maturity. And what we want to do with the students is we want to help them reach that level of maturity. And again, it's important because we want to plug them back into congregations that have that same mentality. So y'all help me out real quick. What is something that you would describe a mature Christian as being? And again, forgive me, I think a lot of people here have heard me speak before. If you haven't, I love to ask questions and get you to answer. That's really the secret to how I keep such a high percentage awake. I do the same thing with my college students on Thursday. But what do y'all think? What's something that you could describe as a believer as being mature? Soul winner, right? Someone who knows their story and then goes about sharing it. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Someone active in sharing God's story and people around them. Good. What's another mature Christian kind of characteristic? What do y'all think? There's no such thing as wrong answers except for ones that aren't right. Servant, right? Yeah, absolutely. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Absolutely. If we're going to be like Jesus, then we've got to be willing to serve other people. What's another one? Compassionate. I heard from back here somewhere. Absolutely. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22, 23. We've got to have some of those fruits if, in fact, our spirit is changed by God. Concern for others. Absolutely. That goes with that service and also the fruits of the Spirit. Yeah, absolutely. What's another one? I'm looking for one particularly I like. Well, a couple of them I like. What's that? Oof, right? Jesus gave that lesson. Absolutely. In fact, Jesus in the Great Commission, the end of his life, or actually after he'd been resurrected, he said, teach them to observe all the things that I've taught you. And that absolutely was a lesson handed down to us from Jesus and displayed by Jesus. That not just love the people who love us, but even love the people who try to harm us. Yeah, good one. Thankfulness, absolutely, absolutely. Within that fruits of the Spirit list, yeah. How about, and I think about this because I've had four children, and they're getting bigger and bigger, but I remember a time in which they, that's right, patience. I remember a time when they were much smaller. You know, I can remember clearly, we had this old high chair that we set in the corner of our kitchen, and we used it for all four kids. And by the time that fourth kid came through, that chair, I'm going to be honest with you, was disgusting. I don't know that there was a way we could have cleaned that except to burn it. I think, what we did at the end. It was disgusting. We'd put the children in it, and you'd try to find every creative way to get them to eat whatever it is you're going to have them eat, usually some kind of pureed vegetable, and it was just torture. And I remember thinking, I cannot wait until this kid can go get their own food. I didn't realize the quantities that they would get once they can do it. But I was anxious that they would be able to feed themselves so that I wouldn't have to make airplane noises while they spit fruit back at me. But how about if we look at that kind of spiritually, what's a way in which you can feed yourself? In his word. I heard it. Someone, you get extra points for that. In his word. In fact, a great verse, 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babes, desire the pure spiritual milk of the word so that you may grow into your salvation. We want to teach our college students how to read the word. We want to teach our college students not only how to read it, but how to memorize it. We want to teach them not only how to read it, how to memorize it, but we want to teach them how to make practical application from it. Because that is the best way for you to grow closer to God. And then, of course, another thing that I think marks them as maturing is the fact that they can fellowship with other believers and bring something positive to that fellowship, that they can spur people on to love and good deeds, as it says in Hebrews 10:24. These are the traits that we're trying for when we're talking about these college students reaching maturity, and it's the traits that I would love for them to see within the local congregations that they come back out to join. Are all of us pushing towards maturity? Or are we, much like is told by Jesus in Matthew 13 when he does the parable of the sower? Remember the different seeds, how they were accepted? And I know there's some discussion. I've read a lot of the commentary. Some think that all three of the seeds that are negative are all talking about non-believers. Some people think maybe that third seed was someone who'd heard the word, had accepted the word, but then had just decided to not be fruitful. Remember, it grew, it just got choked out by concerns of the world. The plant was there, it just didn't have fruit. I think perhaps what we're talking about here is immature Christians who aren't developing into that relationship the way that they're supposed to. All I know is I want my students and myself to be that fourth seed, the one who's bearing fruit no matter what's growing around it, no matter how high the sun is, no matter where they're placed. That they're bearing fruit, some 10, some 100, some 1,000. And then look at the energy that Paul talks about doing all that stuff with. Y'all see that in verse 29? To this end, I strenuously contend right? I like that word strenuously. Shows the effort he wants to put into it. And then what is he using to do it? He says, all of the energy that Christ so powerfully works within me. Did y'all catch that? It said strenuously, and then it said powerfully. This is a man who what? He's had people literally throw rocks at him until he was almost dead. This is a man who was shipwrecked in a tempestuous sea. This is a man who had a poisonous snake bite him. This is a man, in fact, just a little bit where we were, just right ahead of where we were, he was doing so many miracles by the power of God that people were trying to get his handkerchief and touch his cloak as it went by. This is a man who was used by God to do amazing things, including what? Helping a young man who died during his sermon. Y'all remember that story? Pastor, let's hope we never have a repeat of that. I so far have been lucky to avoid it. The guy got so bored, he fell out of an upper floor window and died during Paul's sermon. That's got to make you feel like maybe I should have cut it off an hour ago. But I like Paul. What's he do? He prays over him, gets him back on his feet, and then finishes the sermon. So we don't stop for lunch, much less anyone's death, do we? This was a man who had Christ powerfully in him, and all of his energy was put towards helping others reach maturity. My goal for these students is that they also see the need to mature in Christ, that they are practically equipped with ways to do it, and then that after they graduate, they plug back into churches that are seeking to do the same out here. My goal for you guys, as I'm sure it is with your pastor, is that you likewise are seeking those same things. How does your life look right now? Do you think you are mature in Christ, or do you think you're still immature? Do you think there's something that could help you grow more? I think the Word of God can do that. And if you need any help with that, I'm almost positive that this man would love to do that. I'm so thankful for you guys. I'm so thankful that y'all have got a good pastor. I'm so thankful for the work that y'all have done with us for all these years. And for just as long as we can, we will continue to do the work of the Lord there at Nichols State. Our BCM, we've been blessed. We had a few rough years, a couple of years of COVID, and then Ida came calling. But God, thank God, we've had 2 years of absolutely no hurricanes whatsoever. Hopefully we'll have another 50 years of that. But the BCM is still faithfully chugging. The last 2 weeks, just to give you a little positive update, in the last 2 weeks, we had what Rodney talked about, gospel appointments. We did two different gospel appointments with young people, both of which said, we are not saved. We're not Christian. Both of which said, but I want to be. Both of those people are now active in the BCM. One of them is meeting together with one of our leaders every week to see what's holding her back from making that commitment of saying, I just want to pray out to God. I want to call to him. So y'all be praying for those two. And then also when our students were out doing what Rodney also talked about, water bottling, where we go out and try to find whoever we can sitting out on campus. Man, I tell you, we had one, a young man and a young lady. They shared with a group of people, and from that group, one little girl prayed to receive Christ right there. So that's amazing. She's going to meet with one of our ex-president actually next week, just to see what other services we can provide for her, and that we can get her not only moving towards saying a specific prayer, but moving towards now maturing in Christ so that she can impact the people around them. Just as long as we can keep our doors open, that's what we want to be known as. And once again, you guys are vital in helping us keep those doors open and vital in being partners with us. Let me pray for you guys, and I think we're going to do one more song. But man, listen, we appreciate y'all. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so very much for First Baptist Morgan City. Lord, we appreciate the fact that they have loved on us for years. God, we're so thankful that they want to make a commitment to continuing to help the BCM, and through that, continuing to help this next generation. Lord, how many students have been able to hear the message about Christ because of the faithfulness of this church? Lord, I pray for each and every one of the members here, Lord, that they also are striving towards maturity. God, I pray that you're putting it on their heart. Lord, if they do not have a regular time set aside of reading your word. Lord, I pray that they leave here today convicted that they need one. God, if they're not sure about how they could possibly share their faith, God, I pray that you give them a plan today that they could do this week, that someone could hear about Jesus through their love and actions and through their speech. God, please bless this church, Lord. And we thank you so very much for them. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.